Okay, gentlemen, what I want to discuss with you today is a sugya that's called megas. The sugya basically relates to stirring. The Mishnah in the Gemara in Beit on Daf Lamed Daled tells me that megas is some sort of levashel. So if echad hevias ha'or, echad hevias ha Eitzim, Echad Hevi, Eshamayim, Echad Hevi, Echad Megis, so they're all in violation of an Isser. So you see from there that Megis is some sort of Bishol. The bigger issue, however, with Megis is the more important source is the Gemara in Shabbos on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Does anyone have a Gemara that makes my life easier? The bigger issue is the Gemara in Shabbos on Yud Ches Amid Beis. This sugya is part of the larger machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Shvisas Kalim. And the Gemara has like two lines. The Gemara asks, Necha Shema Megis Ba. There should be some concern that maybe you'll stir the pot. If I have the Samimonim that began to cook on Erev Shabbos and to extract the dye, so for the Gemara, maybe you'll be Megis. So Gemara answers, they're talking about Akura V'toicha, that the pot is no longer on the Eish, the pot is Akura, and the pot is Tocha. Rashi learns the pot is covered, it's Mechusa B'Kisoy Shalah, and there's Tit attaching that Kisoy to the pot, so therefore we're not worried anyone's going to be Magus. So I see from this Gemara that there is a din of Magus, even though it is Akura. No? I need both Akura Vitucha. I need both that the pot is not on the fire and that the cover is firmly attached. Just Akura, there would be a concern of Magus, meaning there is a concern of Magus on a Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Ha'ish. That's clear in the Gemara. However, this does not necessarily mean that it's a problem for us. First of all, Tosis writes, Dilma Megis, Bava Hevi Tzoveya. Right? Tosis writes in Yud Ches Amid Beis that the concern of Megis is not a concern of Bishol, it's a concern of Tzoveya. Now, what am I talking about? Right? Like, L'chaira, the dyes are being extracted because you're cooking them. So the answer is that, no, it's entirely possible that these dyes were already cooked beforehand, and maybe I'll say ein bishol achar bishol, but soveya I won't say is mutter because of ein soveya achar soveya, insofar as soveya, every time I deepen the color, I'm in violation of soveya. No, that we didn't discuss, am I allowed to shine my shoes on Shabbos? Right? So what's shining shoes? I have to sometimes explain to yeshiva guys what shining shoes is. Shining shoes means that be'etzem your shoes are black, but they are a dull black. And when I add the shine, I make it blacker. Now this is something you can get to in meditation. That like when you think about colors, you realize that there are different, like you're supposed to meditate on blue, right? That's what Rashi writes about Tcheles, no? And you realize that there are different shades of blue. There's a very dark blue that's close to black, and there's a very light blue that is like the blue that's around the Kisei HaKavod. No, V'ime Shrei Nahira. No, there are different shades of blue. Every color has different shades. Ken Zayin, and this is the Pashtus in Tosfos, that there is zero machleike, there's zero issue over here of Mevashel. The only issue is Soveya. Because, and this is a hesber that the Shvisas HaShabbos gives in Sivkatin Pei Aleph, because Seveya becomes a darker and darker color over time, and each, right, there's some nusach, I forget already, within colors, there's some term that you use to define darker colors versus lighter colors, but maybe that's the pshat. Okay. Rashi, however, doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns, Megis is mahapech ba, Ubimavushal hevibishal. So Rashi is saying a tremendous chiddush, or a few different chiddushim, the way we have the Rashi. Rashi is saying you're stirring the pot. Ubimavushal, that the pot is already cooked. Ba'afil hachi bimavushal hevibishal. So the pot, right? That means that Rashi is saying that Magus, when they stir this pot, even though the pot is akura, but it's not on the eish, but I'm violating the din of Bishul. That's the pashtus in Rashi. It is worth noting that there are other girsaos in the Rashi. If you look in the Rush, in Perek Gimel Simin Yud Aleph, the Rush writes, Ubimavushal, Hevibishal, he adds a word, Midirabonon. Midirabonon. It's rabbinic bishul. Min HaTorah, there's no bishul. Because Min HaTorah, the item is cooked already. And we'll say, Ein bishul, achar bishul. Because it's cooked. Midirabonon, in violation. Now, the Rush is quoting this in Perek Gimel Simin Yud Aleph. Because the Rush is using this Rashi as one of his rayas to one of the big yesodos that we mentioned from Rashi, which is that Rashi holds that yesh bishul achar bishul by yadavar lach. Meaning, right, that according to Rashi, even though it was cooked already once, if you cook it again, it's going to be a problem. Yesh bishul achar bishul by yadavar lach. That's what? The Rush says this, that this Rashi in Yud Ches is a raya for Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul by Dover Lach. Now, Lecha Ora, this is mamish impossible to understand. And let me explain. Because even if I hold that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul by Dover Lach, what that means is that it was cooked, then it cooled down, and then I warm it up again. No? Isn't that what Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul by Lach means? But this Rashi is saying something in Gantz and Andrish. Rashi is saying, again, I'm not sure. Is Rashi talking about the pot? It's on the fire, not on the fire. Right? That word megas in the Gemara seems like it's before the teretz of akura. So maybe Rashi's only explaining the hava, meaning the pot is on the fire. But whatever it is, when Rashi says that megas is bishul, so one second, if the pot's on the fire, presumably the pot is still rosachas, no? So how can there be bishul achar bishul if it's a davar lach that is hot? Elamai, the pot is off the fire. Okay, grand. The pot is off the fire, so then when I stir a pot that's off the fire, I'm not making it hotter, ki huzeh, no? So a mother shop, when the pot is hot, it remains hot. Pot was cold. Stirring, okay, here's the chiddush, gentlemen. Stirring doesn't increase temperature. Right? Does everyone agree with that? Stirring doesn't increase temperature. So what on earth is Rashi saying? And the pashtus is, no one knows. No one knows. In the Sefer Minchas Ariel, the Minchas Ariel is like the sheet book on Shabbos, no? So Minchas Ariel here on Yud Ches Amid Beis, the Minchas Ariel quotes this, and the Minchas Ariel writes, you know what? You don't fully understand the Rashi. So the Rush, though, is saying that according to Rashi, it is a din d'rabbanon. The Maharshal changes the Girsa in Rashi, that instead of Ubimavushal, the Maharshal's text in Rashi is Ukimavushal, which also means it's a din d'rabbanon of Bishul. So the pashtus is that there is zero din d'oraisa going on over here. Din d'oraisa is like not shayich at all. Okay, that's the pashtus in our Gemara. Even according to Rashi, who's learning that it's out bishul, not out seveya, but it can't be a da'iraisa. That's the pashtus according to the girsaos of both the Rush and according to the girsa of the Maharshal. Happens though that the Maharsha disagrees with the Maharshal's girsa, and everyone quotes a Bach. I could not find this Bach. Everyone quotes a Bach, but the Bach also. The Bach also notes that although the Rosh says it's a din d'rabbanon, but that's not what Rashi says. And in fact, in Rashi Lefoninu, it does not say it is d'rabbanon. Okay, so far these are the issues. Now, let's just kind of go a tiny bit afield, but it's related to what we have been discussing. We'll come back to Magus in a few minutes, but let's go back to that Rush, Perek Gimel, Simen Yud Aleph. The Rush writes, why is it that it's more likely to be Tzeveya than it is to be Mevashel? Right? The opinion that's Mevashel is really a rejected opinion, or it's an unlikely opinion. It's a minority opinion. So the Rush has a nusach that it's considered Tzeveya because Kishahu Magus Machnes Hasamimonim Betzemer, which I think is the same idea that we mentioned beforehand, which is that when I stir the pot, the color, the hue, becomes darker. No? That's the Svara of the Rush. Imkenim Hadavarim, so the Tshuva of the Ginas Verodim raises Akasha. Correct the Ginas Verodim, you know, many assume, and we spoke about this, that Kafe Nameis means instant coffee. Instant coffee is considered Mivushal, and then I'll apply the rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. But Frek the Tshuvas Ginas Verodim, I don't understand. If the Rush is telling me that when it becomes a darker color, so that's considered Yesh Seveya, even though it's already Nitzba. So Lecha Ora, by Bishol, it should be the same thing. That even though I cooked the coffee previously, but when I cook the coffee Nachamol, what's happening is the coffeeness is coming out more. And if the coffeeness is coming out more, based on the Svara of the Rush, I should be in violation of Bishol Mamish with instant coffee. You seem so perplexed. I'm looking at your face. You're like, you probably don't remember. Yeah, I also don't remember. There used to be a TV show where Watson called Willis. What was his name? Family Ties. Okay, this is like 35 years ago. Yeah.
Is he denying the whole concept of Ein Bishol Achar? I'm confused why this isn't an Ein Bishol Achar
Bishol. He's saying that the rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol doesn't apply when there is a Hisafa in the Bishol. Just like I'm not going to say Ein Tzeveya Achar Tzeveya because the color gets darker. So Frek the Ginas Verodim, even though I cooked the coffee previously, but Lamaisa, when I cook it again, there should be Bishol Achar Bishol. So it comes along the... Yeah?
This should be very relevant to toast.
This should be very relevant to toast, right? We spoke about yesterday in terms of Afiyah Achar Afiyah, or the same idea that the toast it is, right? I'm going to teach you a Yiddish expression. It's Iver Far Besser Tun Far Putzt. Right? It's enhanced. It's better than the previous bread. So this is a big issue. So that's the kasha of the Ginas Verodim. So the Chassam Sofer answers, which I think is probably what you're thinking about that creates the quizzical look. He says, you know what? You create the coffee, you make the coffee into an eichel. When you cook the coffee the first time, it's now edible. Right? For example, one of my daughters, every morning for breakfast, she eats Greek yogurt with instant coffee mixed in, that the instant coffee adds a flavor to the Greek yogurt. If you use regular ground coffee, it doesn't add any flavor to the yogurt. It's mamish disgusting. How come the instant coffee does it? Because since the instant coffee is already cooked, so it's like a dino ka'icha, you could eat instant coffee if you want. Most of us think it's gross, but it's edible. So the Chassam Sofer Taina is that the Malach of Mevashel is making something edible. So once it's edible, so if I make it better edible, maybe that's not called the Isser of Mevashel again, right back to our conversation regarding toast, etc. No? That's what the Chassam Sofer Taina is. If that's the case, so the Minchas Ariel, and this is found in Daf Mem, Os Chav, towards the end, the Minchas Ariel says, you know what? Maybe tea is a problem. Maybe, even though the Minika Olam, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkatan Lamed Tes gives us the whole Arichus Devarim about how you make tea essence, and therefore there's no Isser Mevasha on the tea because the tea leaves are previously cooked. But tea leaves are not really food. There is not a single individual in the world who takes a tea leaf and chews on it Right? No one does that. Unlike the coffee that once it's cooked now is edible, the tea leaf is not edible. So maybe there is an application of bishul achar bishul by the tea leaf based on this svara of the rush with respect to tzoveya.
The tea leaves don't now become edible.
The tea leaves never become edible. But the point is, yes, I cook the tea leaf, but when I pour water on it a second time, I am extracting some flavor, and maybe I'm being mevashel that flavor that leaves the tea leaf. Right? It's almost like blias in Yerideya. It's like this ephemeral thing. Right? There's flavor that comes out of the tea leaf. I can't point to what flavor it is, but I know it's there.
But that flavor was there after you cooked it the first time.
So, but each time I pour on it, more flavor comes out. And just like the Rush is saying that each time I stir the pot, more tzeva comes out. So shouldn't I be chayiv for each future flavoring?
But when the after the first time, you know you wouldn't eat on the tea leaf, you would get that flavor out. It's already cooked and edible. The flavor's out. The flavor is cooked.
But more flavor comes out. You're timing that the flavor itself is already cooked, and the flavor that comes out is cooked flavor. I don't know what cooked flavor means.
Everything is cooked. There's no tea that's not cooked.
And no hanami, right? That's what we point out. Reb Moshe Feinstein Ta'ara, that even our tea bags are all nitzla gabe ha'esh, right? Didn't we speak about how they float the tea leaves down the river, right? And then they cook them, they roast them on an open fire. Right? That's the way tea is made. So it's a strong kasha. The Shvisas HaShabbos tries to answer that maybe by tzeveya the color gets darker and darker, so more and more is coming out. I think he's saying what you were saying, that by bishul, no more and more comes out. Maybe that's the pshat, I don't know. But b'kitzur ma'aseh, I have a Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis that the Gemara asks a kasha, shouldn't it be Megas? The Gemara answers that it's Akura and Tucha, and therefore there is no din of Megas. And according to some of the Rishonim, it's a din of Bishol. So shouldn't there be an Isser to ever stir a pot? Even if you take the pot off of the oven, there should be an Isser to stir the pot. So the Rashba writes that, you know what, there's no Isser to stir the pot once it's Mevushal Kemayichol Ben Jerusai. This is actually the second answer of the Rashba there on Yud Ches Amud Beis. Right now, this is the Rashba L'shitasai. Remember, we spoke about a machlokes between the Rashba and the Rambam about what does Ein Bishol Achar Bishol mean. For the Rambam, I only apply the rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol when it's Mevushal Kol Tzarkai. But if it's Mevushal Kemaycho Ben Jerusai, I don't say Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, I'll say Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol. But the Rashba holds that no. The Rashba holds that once something is halachically cooked, so we can't cook it again. So therefore, once it's Mevushal Kemaycho Ben Jerusai, I'll say Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. That's what the Rashba says. And the Rashba says, you know, that our Gemara is the proof. So in our Gemara, what we basically have is a din that Hagasa is a problem until it's Maichol Ben Jerusai. La'achar shehigia la'maichol ben shusoi, there's no din of hagasa, because ein bishol achar bishol. What that probably means is that the Rashba is conceptualizing this din of hagasa as what we would call kruve bishula. I'm making the bishol happen faster. That's kruve bishula. The Ritva writes already in Mesecha Shavuos Daf Yud Zayin, he has a diak from a Gemara, that kruve bishula is called bishul also. If something is supposed to cook in 2 hours and they make it cook in 1 hour, kruve bishula, that's bishul. And that's what stirring does, according to the Rashba. Narvas, once it's already cooked, I can't further violate cooking. That doesn't make any sense. That's the Rashba answer too. If you look there in the Rashba Yud Ches Amud Beis, though, the Rashba has answer one before he has answer two. Right? Big chiddush in life. Sometimes people have the first answer before the second answer. So the Rashba's first answer is that the case why there is no bishul when we do Haggasah on our pots is because you already did Haggasah one time previously in Erev Shabbos, and subsequent Haggasah is not considered the Isser of Haggasah. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but what that can't mean is that Haggasah is a din of Kruve Bishula. Because if it's Kruve Bishula, Einenu Haro'os, that every time I stir a pot, it makes it go faster, no? So, L'cha'ira, the Rashba's first answer, which, by the way, is not quoted in classical poskim. Now, it's interesting. You go through the Mishnah Brura, the Magen Avram, the Taz, all the Mishitos on the page of Shulchan Aruch. They don't quote answer one of the Rashba, which, by the way, is the same as answer one of the Ramban. They're all the same. They don't quote that answer. I don't fully understand it, but Zozain. So let's go back. Rashba tells me that once an item is fully cooked, there cannot be Haggasah. Answer one, the Rashba says, even before the item is fully cooked, there can't be Haggasah if you did Haggasah one time in Erev Shabbos. But certainly the Rashba holds that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies to Haggasah. The Magid Mishnah writes, Vidas HaRambam, the same thing. You see, the Rambam has a big chiddush. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam tells me that I can't remove food from a pot. That's different than Haggasah, no? Haggasah means that I mix it, I stir it. The Rambam Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph writes that even removing food from a pot is called an Isser Haggasah. Now, the Rambam is only talking about when the pot's on the fire. What's the issue? So apparently the issue is some sort of Kruve Bishula for the Rambam. Because when I take food out of the pot, so here's the Chiddush, gentlemen, math majors. You take food out of the pot, that means that there's less food in the pot. That means that whatever food is in the pot will be cooked faster than it would have been cooked earlier. So for the Rambam, the pashtus would be that Haggasah is some sort of Kruve Bishula. And the Rambam extends Haggasah to removing food from a pot. That's the pashtus in the Rambam. Although, if you look at the Lashon HaRambam there in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, the Lashon HaRambam is that he compares scooping out from a pot, which is some sort of Haggasah, he compares it to Schita, which is some sort of Libun. The Rambam writes that just like if I'm Sochet a Beged, that's considered Mitzarche HaLibun, no? So also, removing food from a pot, Haggasah on the pot, is considered some sort of Tzarche HaBishol. Now, how we conceptualize that, I would say, is advanced Talmud, not for now. But, Bekitzur HaMa'aseh, the Magen Mishnah has a take on the Rambam, that this whole Rambam is before the food is fully cooked. Remember, for the Rambam, Michael ben Jerusalem isn't what the threshold of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That threshold is only Mevushal called Tzarkai. And Zok the Magen Mishnah there, Aliba de Rambam, once the food is Mevushal called Tzarkai, you're allowed to stir it out, because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Good? Adam, you had a comment?
No,
that Magen Mishnah. Now it happens that Rabbi Abraham ben David of Paskiers, that's called the Ravid in Jewish. So the Ravid writes that the Rambam over here, his Lashon is Mafriz al Hamida. Right? That's the Lashon HaRavid. In other words, that the Rambam is going too vite. He's going too far. That Zok the Ravid, removing food from a pot can never be akin to Haggasah. Haggasah, we know from the Gemara in Beit Zilamid Dalet, is some sort of bishul. But the Ravid is saying the Haggasah is bishul because you are stirring it. And some contents of the pot that were previously uncooked now are going to be cooked because I'm moving it to the more central area of the pot. But if I just remove food from a pot, So yes, there's less food in the pot, but the Ravid says that might not be called Kruvei Bishula. It's a maybe, it's a Dover She'ein Miskaven. And the Ravid might be understanding the Rambam that it's already Mavushal called Tzarkai. Whatever it is, the Ravid says Mafriz Al Hamida, that removing food from a pot is never called Hagasa. Zero. Okay. So far, Judaism is normal. However, we have a shita of the Kolboy. Now, the Kolboy is not quoted in the Beis Yosef over here in Shin Yud Ches. The Kolboy is quoted in the Beis Yosef in Simin Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Dalet. The Beis Yosef doesn't quote the exact lashon of the Kolboy, but even in the Makar HaDvarim, the fundamental ideas of the Kolboy are the same as the way the Beis Yosef quotes it, which is that the Kolboy says that you're not allowed to stir, and if you stir, it's chayiv chatos. Okay, that means it's d'oraisa. And the Kolboy says that even if it's mevushal kol tzarkai, if you stir it, you could be chayiv chatas. And this is one of those what the heck moments in Judaism. And it's bishul natzoveya. The Kolboy is saying it in the halachos of bishul, nachon. And the Beis Yosef quotes it in the halachos of bishul. Reishon gemul dinam of bishul. So that means the Kolboy is talking about a kedera al gabei ha'esh. And the Kolboy is saying that if I'm magus, if I stir such a pot, so I am in violation of bishul min ha-Torah, even though it's already cooked. And the Shar HaTzion in Shin Yud Ches, the last one, is Kuf Mem Ches, he writes, Lo Eda Hatam, Fashteyach Nesht. I don't understand why this is a problem. In bishul achar bishul, comes along Hagon Reb Moshe Feinstein in those tshuvas, it's Chelak Dalet, Semenayin Dalet, or Zion, I think. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes that, no, the Kolboy is saying, what I'm really worried about is I'm going to have some uncooked stuff in the pot. And maybe I'm going to violate Bishul on that uncooked stuff. You have a pot of cholent, mashal. And in the cholent you have barley, and you have beans, and you have potatoes, and you have meat, and you might have bones. We'll have to talk about bones separately in a few minutes. But I have like a bunch of stuff in the cholent. Some of the cholent cooks faster, some of the cholent cooks slower. Says the Kolboy, the magus that I'm worried about, Reb Moshe is saying that the Kolboy doesn't mean that you're definitely chayiv min ha-Torah if you're magus. But don't be magus, because maybe you'll be chayiv min ha-Torah. Because maybe what you'll do is you'll take that uncooked bean. Whatever, I think beans cook slower than barley. Anyone know this, Tyra? I think beans, right, take hours to cook them well. So the beans are going to be uncooked. I'll be magus, I'll be cooking the bean. That is what the Kolboy says. That's one shot in the Kolboy. Rav Rimon in his Sefer argues that maybe the Kolboy means not that you are speeding up the bishul of certain items, but maybe the idea is that you are being mosif a pan chadash. Right? Pan is a gush word. You want to translate it for the Philistines among us?
An additional element?
An element or characteristic. That I'm adding a pan chadash to the bishul, that there's something new that's happening. What does that mean? So I think what this means is something akin to the Urayim that we discussed yesterday. Remember, the Urayim says that there is Bishul Achar Afiyah and Afiyah Achar Bishul. And the pshat that we gave from the Eglei Tal is that for the Urayim, I'm contributing a different flavor, no? It's going to taste different when I do the Afiyah Achar, the Bishul. It'll have a slightly different flavor. Ken Zayin, that when I stir the pot also, I am adding a different flavor. Hey, try this at home. Cook pasta and don't stir it. What will happen is some of the pasta is going to be cooked, But some of the pasta will be softer. Some of the pasta is going to be harder. The stuff towards the side of the pot is going to be a harder pasta. Maybe what I'm doing is I'm creating a more uniform flavor in the pasta when I stir it. And that is Hosafas Pan Chadash. Right? It's something along the lines, not exactly the same, but along the lines of Afiyah Achar Bishul. I would maintain it's more a din of the texture than the flavor. How texture impacts on halacha is an interesting question. No? I was very into this years ago. Licorice. Is licorice a mizonos or a shahakal? There is flour in the licorice. Some say that the licorice, I'm talking about Twizzlers licorice, you know, the good stuff. Right? So there is some flour in it, but some say that the flour is devek ba'alma. It just is there as a binding agent. So if you speak to the mumchim in the Twizzlers factory, it's not true. The flour is not a binding agent. Karaya, sugar binds very beautifully to itself, no? Sugar, you make a candy, it's going to stick together. You don't need the flour. So what does the flour do to the Twizzlers? The Teretz is it makes a new texture. If I would just have the sugar, it would be hard. The flour in the Twizzlers makes it softer and chewier. That's called contributing texture. Yesh la'ayin. What's the halachic status of texture? And whatever it is, that's just a mashal. My understanding is that when the Kolbo says that there is some sort of bishul, the Kolbo means that I'm adding texture to it, which is an extension of the Yerayim that we had yesterday. That's my understanding of Rav Rimon's second Bayer. Again, the first Bayer is Remaisha, that some of the beans, let's say, won't get cooked. The second Hesber is up. Now, what happens? What's the din, Halacha Lamaisa? Halacha Lamaisa, what's the din? And we have to cover the din both in terms of stirring and in terms of ladling out, right? Because we had both discussions. The Rambam spoke about ladling out within the context of stirring, etc. So fortunately, a book was written called Shulchan Aruch, and that tells us the dinim. Shin Yud Ches Se'if Yud Ches. The Mechaber tells us Ha'ilvus Ha'kedeira She'avira Merutachim. That means it's a clearishin Shelo Al Gabei Ha'esh. If it's not in a special called sarkai, you cannot use a spoon to remove it, because that will be megas. Meaning, we hold the Mechaber Paskins that I only say ein bishal achar bishal once it's mevushal called sarkai. And just ladling out, according to the Mechaber, is going to be a problem, because it is megas. Megas in that you will be speeding up the bishul process. The im nispashul called sarkai, it's mutter. Nispashul called sarkai, it's mutter, according to the Mechaber, to ladle out. If it is dye, you can't do it. Because like we spoke about, by dye, it becomes deeper, the color is enhanced over time. But when it comes to food, if it's mevushal called sarkai, ladling out is permitted. If it's not mevushal called sarkai, ladling out is forbidden.
The Rambam says even by ladling out dye.
The Rambam says?
What he says, even by ladling out dye?
No. The Rambam is only talking about food.
Right.
The Rambam is talking about food and the mechat. So but it's clear from the Gemara that alkol ponim dye is more of a problem. You're saying ladling out the dye? So the Mechaber's lashon over here is tzemer liyoyra afabishakala ta'ayin usur lahagis by. Right? The Mechaber begins with speaking about ladling out food, and then he proceeds to talk about stirring dye. Hey, good ha'ara. But the Mechaber does not talk about stirring food. Right? The Mechaber does not talk about food, that's al gabei ha'esh, nor does he talk about stirring food. So what happens over there? So most poskim, I shouldn't say most, to the best of my knowledge, all poskim assume that stirring food, agabe ha'esh, is a problem that I'm chayshish for the kobo. By stir food, agabe ha'esh, but that's really a problem. If it's agabe ha'esh. If it's lay agabe ha'esh, and it's mevushal kol tzarkai, the mechaber is mekel on ladling out.
I hear what you're saying.
He doesn't say beferish about stirring, but in the worst case scenario, when it's both stirring and agabe ha'esh, that for sure is usher. That's what all the poskim say. What about ladling out, according to the Mechaber, when it's agabe ha'esh? Mishneh Berurah Se'if Katan Kuf Yud Gimel quotes a machlokes ha'poskim. He says the mashmos of the Beis Yosef is that ladling out when it is mevushal kol tzarkai is permitted, but the El Yeraba is machmir. Right, this is what Meir was saying beforehand, that lemaisa, you're not going to ladle out when it's on the fire. Well, not so pasha. That's the El Yeraba, says you can never ladle out when it's on the fire. But the Mishneh Berurah Sifkat and Kuf Yud Gimel quotes that the Mashmos of the Beis Yosef is you can ladle out when it's on the fire. Stirring, for sure, is a problem. But ladling out on the fire is permitted. Stirring when it's not on the fire, when it's Mevushal Karet Sarkai. So that issue, the Pashtus in the Mechaber, is that he's only making on ladling out when it is Shaloy Agabe Ha'esh. He's not making on stirring when it is Shaloy Agabe Ha'esh. That's the Pashtus in the Mechaber. Okay.
So if you have chillin' on a crock pot, you can...
Wait. In other words, first I want to do what the Mechaber says, what the Ramah says,
but
then we're
going
to talk about
that,
what we do. So according to the Mechaber, when the chillin' is on the crock pot, l'cha'ira... Again, the Mishneh Berurah would say that according to Beis Yosef, if it's fully cooked, you're allowed to ladle it out. Right? But the Oyer Rabbah says, don't ladle out when it's on the crock pot. Ramah. Rama quotes in the Maharival, like one of the biggest chumras in Judaism. I asked Rav Schefter this morning, does anyone hold of this? He says, it makes no sense. That was like his nusach. You know, like there, sometimes his voice gets higher when he's like, Rav Schefter says, it makes mamish no sense. But the Rama writes that even stirring out of a pot, even ladling out of a pot, Shaloi agave ha'esh is lechatchila asar. And therefore, what I should do to get the food out of the pot, ready? And I take my chalam pot and I dump the whole thing into some other keli, and then I have to take out from that other keli. Right? Because even ladling out is considered stirring. And even though it's Shaloi agave ha'esh, and even though it's mevushal kol tzarkai, right, this is like a chumra agave chumra 17 times around, right? It's still going to be usser, according to the Ramah. At least l'chatchila, it's usser. But the Mishneh Berurah tells us in Sifkotin Kuf Yud Zayin, Ayin ba'acharonin delo nehigin lahachmir bozeh. We're not machmir like this. Even if you're machmir on Hagosa itself, but to ladle out for sure is going to be mutter, because the ikkar is that even lahagis is mutter when it's a kli rishon shaloi al gabei ha'esh. If you want to be machmir on Hagosa mamish, but to be machmir on ladling out, says the Mishneh Berurah, this Maharival just don't make no sense. That's basically the yesod of the Mishneh Berurah. So halacha l'maisa, what do I do? So pashtus is, I'm not allowed, according to the Mechaber, there are two opinions of the Mishneh Berurah, whether you are allowed to ladle out when it's on the fire. The Rama is more machmir than the Machaber, and the Pashtus is that the Rama would say you can't ladle out when it's on the fire. However, the Chazon Ish writes that if you have no alternative, you're allowed to do that. Zosomeres, the Chazon Ish that we'll speak about, not next week, remember I'm away next week, but the week after next week. So the Chazon Ish that we'll speak about says that the blech that we have is not a blech. If you have a pot that's just on top of a flat sheet of metal, does hasten the blech. A blech has to have a veer underneath it. Our piece of metal is not a blech. So the Chazon Ish says, you know what? If I take the pot off the fire to stir it, or if I take the pot off the fire, forget to stir it, right? Maybe stirring is a problem. I take the pot off the fire to ladle out of it, so then I can never put the pot back on the fire. Even though it's on the blech, the Chazon Ish says the blech is like it's back on the fire. So if I want to ladle out, I'll take it. I'm going to be a frum yid. I'll take the pot off and then I'll ladle out. But I can't do that because, right? It's al ha'ish. I can't do it. So I have to take it off. But if I take it off, I can't put it back. So the Chazon Ish says, you know what? If you take it off, you can't put it back. You're not a ladle out. That's the kula of the Chazon Ish, right? We spoke about how a kula from the Chazon Ish is worth like $1 million. No? The Chazon Ish is not known for being such a mekel, but over here he's mekel that if you can't put it back because of his chumrah by the blech, that's a bigger chumrah than the chumrah of ladling out. Ad kan divrei ha-Chazon Ish. Based on this, Rabbi Yamin Zober, he was just nifter like a year or two ago, in the Chuvah's Oznidberu, Rabbi Yamin Zober tainas that if you have a very heavy pot, you're allowed to ladle out once it's mevushal called sarkai, even if it's al gabei ha'ish. That's what Ben Yamin Zover says. I remember Moresh HaKolel, we used to have like a gigundous pot. No, it was mamish. Hey, you remember the big pot, Rabbi Cohen?
It was very hot. It
took like five people. And like one of those people was this guy we used to call Screamer. The guy was mamish like an ox, right? It's not easy to remove that pot. We were machmir to pick the pot up before we stirring out for the Heilige Yeshiva Bachar Minig of Friday Night Cholent. Rabbi Yamin Zilber says that based on this Chazon Ish, if you can't put it back once you take it off, right? So if it's a really heavy pot, you're allowed to ladle out when it's on the fire. That's what he says. Again, at least on the blech, etc. For us, you could put it back when it's on the blech, but even if it's directly on the fire, you can't put it back. And let's say you can't put a blech on, you don't have such a blech. Meza sibashahi. So just leave it there. That's what Ben Yamin Zober says. Again, once it's mevushal, kol tzarkai.
But theoretically, doing kol tzara would be better if it's practical.
For us, we assume that our blechs are blechs, and therefore it's better to do hachazara. The shayla is how crazy you have to make yourself. Do you really need five guys to pick up the pot? Was it like this in Marsha Kolon, Arayom Hazeh? Like they have this gigantic pot? Right, and you still have like five guys lifted up? Or a few. You need like the biggest bovans, you should excuse the expression, to like lift up that pot. It's not so pashat. Okay, that's the Chazon Ish. Now, another kula by Hagosa is found in the Tshuva of the Avni Nezer. He quotes from Rabbi Yeshua Kutna. I remember when I was a really young kid in Camp Monk. So, in Camp Monk, if you wanted tea, there was a pot that was directly on the fire, and there was a ladle that stayed in the pot. The ladle can't come out of the pot, no? You have to leave the ladle in the pot, because if the ladle comes out of the pot and you leave it there for too long, there's a shash of bishol gabe bishol on those drops inside the ladle, no? Just like one of the big issues that comes up with Bishol Achar Bishol by Dover Lach is recovering your chicken soup pot. No? If I want to recover the chicken soup pot, I mamish have to, again, Ramesha's mekel on the drops that were already previously cooked. But according to the Deya HaMachmira, which the Pashta says you should do, is you have to really dry off the lid of your chicken soup pot if you're going to put it back on. The ladle you should leave inside the thing. So Rabbi Shua Mikutna is called by the Avni Nezer that there is no din of Hagasa at all with a ladle on water. Because Hagasa means that some of the items are not going to be cooked unless you stir it. Water is called uniform, right? The whole, there's a term for this in chemistry, no? That it diffuses right away. No, it, since it's all the same thing, isn't there some term in chemistry, no chemistry majors? Right? I forget already. There's some term in chemistry for this, so the Avni Nezer is quoted as saying it's not a problem. Megas is not a problem. The entire world is mako like this. But based on the Gemara in Beitza, on Daf Lamedalid. The Gemara in Beitza writes, Echad hevi es ha'etzim, Echad hevi es ha'or, Echad hevi es ha'mayim, ve'echad megas. Mayim, megas. So I don't know. It seems like it's a problem. Unless you want to say that the Gemara in Beitza is only a problem, Kaidem Shigela Meichel Ben Jusai, according to some of the Rishonim, or Kaidem Shigela Mavushal Kol Tzarka, according to the Rambam, whatever Meichel Ben Jusai means by liquids, right? Maybe that's a pshat, I don't know.
This would not apply to soup. This is meaning.
So soup has two types of soup. Some people have chicken soup that has vegetables in it, right? So if you have vegetables in your chicken soup, there really would be a din of magus, because it's Rabbi Yishua Mikutna. But let's say I have just broth. So then, the cha'ora, it is a uniform substance, and then there would be no din of magus, right, according to this hesber of Rabbi Yishua Ben Kutna. Now, some of the issues that we've been discussing today, according to one of the major deals, Hagasa is because of Keruvei Bishula. Right, we spoke about that ritva in Shavuos. There are other examples of Keruvei Bishula. We mentioned that before the water in my urn is fully cooked, so I shouldn't take a glass of tea, because if I take water out of my urn, the Minchas Yitzchak writes, that's Keruvei Bishula on, right, the fact that there's less water in the urn means it'll get cooked quicker. The Gemara in Chulin talks about Nier Bekisa. That one of the ways, I'm sorry for bringing up Chulin and like the Yerideya memories of youth, but one of the dinim of having the Tipas Cholov be mispashet in the entire Kedera, the Tipas Cholov falls on a piece of meat, that piece of meat becomes treif, no? But if I am near the Kisa, if either I stir the pot right away, or I cover the pot, near or Kisa, so then it's going to be ma'arev, the entire tipas cholav, and it will spread, right? It will spread to all the food. That's what it says. So the Achrayim say that if the food is not fully cooked, you can't cover the pot. Because that's also a type of Keruvei Bishula. No? When the steam, I think Rashi writes in Chulin, the Nir Bekisa is only a din when it's Mala Resicha. Right? Such a shver Rashi. But according to most, the Nir Bekisa is because the steam in the pot is, right? The Goyin assumes like the Rashi, but what the Shach assumes like the normal Pshat, that the steam creates more Bishul. So covering a pot makes more steam, so that'll be Keruvei Bishula. And that would be a problem. The big issue that comes up, or let's give a kula now, another kula that's not called Hagasa. Maybe we said that according, if the Keli is Agabe Ha'esh, so Hagasa for sure is a problem. And even according to the El Yerabba, removing the food, right, is a problem, even ladling out is a problem on Tagabe Ha'esh. According to the Mechaber, for the Ramah, the Pashtus is, if for sure is a problem. Am I allowed to remove a piece of schnitzel? That's Tagabe Ha'esh. Tagabe Ha'esh could mean on top of a, what are they called? A warming tray, no? Am I allowed to remove a piece of schnitzel? Is that a concern of Hagasa? Or is that a concern of ladling out, which is like Hagasa? The pashtus is that piece one of chicken has no shaykhus to piece two of chicken, no? The schnitzel, right, doesn't... I'm not going to make the bottom schnitzel cook any faster. I'm not going to improve bottom schnitzel by removing top schnitzel. So l'cha'ira, that should be heter gomor. Okay. Now, the big issue that comes up, I spoke to Rav Shechter about it this morning, he's like, it's so strange. This issue apparently was not discovered until 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, probably meant 60 years ago. But the bones in the Chaland. You see, bones take a very long time to cook. No? The meat in the chunt will cook a phase in an hour or two. But you have bones. You could leave the bone in the chalent for a very long time, and eventually the bone will become chewy. And you can mamish eat the bone. No? I remember my grandmother, Laha Shalom, used to sit at the Shabbos meal. I thought this was like the most disgusting. Whatever, the Rebbeinu Shalom should forgive me, but I used to think it was so disgusting to sit next to my grandmother at Shabbos lunch, because she would like chew on the bones. No? You ever saw that? So am I allowed to stir my chalent pot? Even if it's shalei al gabe ha'esh, I'm going to say it's mevushal kol tzarkai. I could eat the whole thing in the chalent, no? But I can't eat the whole thing, because I have bones. Again, people, my wife likes to use boneless flanken. I don't know if it's like a chumrah, or it's just it tastes better. But if you have flanken with a bone, so even if it's shalei al gabe ha'esh, maybe there's a real concern of hagasa or ladling out, because that's like hagasa. The bones are not fully cooked. You can't do it when it's not mevushal kol tzarkai, and the bones are not mevushal kol tzarkai. So Moshe Feinstein writes, and he thinks bones are not food. Okay. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that, you know what? Some people eat bones. And because some people eat bones, if you live in a community where some people eat bones, even if you yourself don't eat bones, you should not stir out from, you should not ladle out from the chalent when it's shalei al gabe ha'esh, when there are bones there. Because that will create a problem of bishul on the bones. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. Even if there's a miyut of people in your community who eat bones, no? That's going to be a problem. In the Sefer, I used to call him, I said, Sherman Yerideh, Anida. I love the Sefer, the Megillah Sefer, no? The Megillah Sefer, page 36. I call him my dear beloved friend. He's mamish, I love him. I never met the man in my life. I mamish love him, because he's such a gevadik alamdan. He writes so beautifully. Megillah Sefer says, it makes no sense. Lemaisa, you have no kavana to cook the bones. You don't want to eat the bones. And we see by many malachos that if I don't have any kavana kihuzeh, there is zero iser involved. No? The Magen Mishnah has this by the malacha of makeh bepatish. The Magen Mishnah has this by many malachos. The idea is that it's entirely possible that the whole shem hamalacha is defined by what I want. If I don't want to eat my bone, so therefore my bone is a non-food item. Non-food items, we already tainud, there is a musig of bishul, but bishul means when it becomes liquefied. I have no idea what temperature is necessary to liquefy a bone, but it's a heck of a lot hotter than what I have in my crock pot, no? So if it's not a food item, so it's not a problem. It is a food item for somebody else, so for him it's a problem. But for me, that it's not a food item, right? I can't say that because there's someone in town, right? That's the Megillah Sefer's Cheshbin, which I think is, I think that's very reasonable. If you look in the Sefer of Rav Rimon, pages 298 until like 304, he has a lot of beautiful pictures about stirring stuff out of the pot, etc. But I think we mentioned all of the dinim. And we should have a good day, a good Shabbos, a good next week. Jake, you have a comment?
Yeah. According to Man, the people that make this is because of Kari Bishula. Is it its own Dinder Abanan, or is it there just a secretion that I'm going to cause the food to...
Again, the Pashtus is... the Kobol assumes it's a Dinder Raisa. We had that Diyuk in Rashi, where the Rush said it's a Dinder Abanan. But if it's... I don't know if it's a psik ratio, your mamish being mavashel. I don't know. It's called that special. Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, have
just
a great day.
Just
yeah.
To clarify, if I have a shalom pot, no bones in it, it's shaloh agape ha'ish and mehusha kol tzarkai.
That's fine.
To ladle out is fine, and to stir.
The pashtus is that to stir is okay also. The kolboy, the pashtus only asers when it's agabe ha'esh. One could argue that we should be choishish for the first part of the Marivayel. But I'm not convinced of that. Okay.